Welcome to the Paul and Griff Show. You got yourself Paul.
And you got myself Griff.
And we are back in the saddle, in the time machine, going to 1999. As we continue Project 99, and we look at films from 1999, arguably the greatest year in film. We're going to look at a whole bunch of films from that year, rank them, decide what the best of the best is. Not literally the best of the best, because that's his own film, a great film.
It's his own film.
My shoulder, man. I can't do it. Yeah, so far sitting at the top is, where's it, Griff?
Fight Club.
And so far sitting at the bottom, what we got?
Office, nice little office space.
Oh, there is space, but there's space for more.
There is space for more.
So we'll find out what's happening on. This week, what have we chosen?
Yeah, we've chosen a British film. British film, first one. Human Traffic. Oh, it's about five friends who spend one lost weekend in a mix of music, love, and club culture. It was released on the 4th of June, 1999, and released in America on the 5th of May, 2000. A beer to the year 2000. It was directed and written by Justin Kerrigan and stars John Sim as Jip, Lorraine Pilkington as Lulu, Sean Parks as Coop, Danny Dyer as Moff, Nicola Reynolds as Nina, Andrew Lincoln as Felix, Dean Davis as Lee, and Richard Coyle as Andy. Taglines: the weekend has landed.
Oh.
You won't know what hit you.
Till it hits you.
It hits you. No rules. No limits, and no saying no, ever. Had a budget of 2.2 million. I don't know where that money went. And box office brought home 2.5 million. Yeah, Human Traffic. As we always start, what's your memories of this? Did you know this film existed? Is this your first time watching?
I know it existed. I'd seen scenes, but I hadn't watched the whole film. Or if I had, I've forgotten it.
safe bet. I remember, like, my brother's a big fan of this film. I remember watching it and hating it. And hopefully time passed by and I'd have a bit different take of it. Now I'm a bit older and wiser.
And a crackhead. No.
Crackhead. obviously very, very, very influenced by Trainspotting. Which
I really made myself chuckle with it.
Would you see that? Can you see it's been influenced by Trainspotting? Is that would safe to say?
Yeah. Bone Collector was influenced by Seven. This has been influenced by Trainspotting. You know, it happens, doesn't it? I mean, they see sort of things and they try to jump on it quick time. I don't know if this was previously written or sort of wrote after watching. But interesting.
I would love to know if any of our American listeners have watched this. I would love to know someone's opinion across the pond. Because I think, even though, obviously, we're going to thoughts about the film soon, like, some of this kind of stuff we can relate to. Like, whenever you see American house parties, it's all luxurious and stuff like that. The one thing Human Traffic did, which it does capture the whole, like, that's a proper English house party, ain't it? At the end of the night, People can't even look at each other. People are like, I don't want to be the first one to leave, but I really want to leave.
Well, yeah, I mean, or you could be that mate that you wake up in the morning and they're still sitting there.
Still sitting there, didn't want to leave. Hi, Dan. I'm joking.
What are you saying hi on here for? He's still next to you.
He's still next to me. Oh, playing boxing games.
That was a
night. It's a bit of a mess of a film, but I think if I'm going to be critically thinking about it, I think it's intended to be of a mess of a film.
Yeah,
if that's safe to say.
It is safe to say. I mean, we were speaking like off air about it. And my take was, like I said, I didn't know if I was reading too much into it, but I felt the way it was shot and designed was to make you feel like you were tripping and you were part of this, and you were sort of like those bits where you're confused and you were almost sitting in the room. Like you saw Danny Dyer have moments where he's sort of looking around the room like, I've got no idea what's going on here.
Yeah,
I think they wanted elements where you were that, and you were kind of sitting there like, what's happening? Like, what's going on with all this stuff? I don't know what's happening with all this. And I think they were trying to, I mean, in my head, it might be, you know, creating it far cleverer than what it intended to be. But that's the way I felt that they wanted it to go.
Yeah, that's definitely safe. Actually, I don't think Moshe hasn't really aged very well. Obviously, you've got the possessive boyfriend a little bit. He's really like paranoid that like his girlfriend wants to shag everyone, or everyone wants to shag her. That's it.
Yeah.
I suppose PG said the bits I did like, then what I didn't like. Obviously, anything Danny Dyer does, I just Danny Dyer. The only thing I can thank for this film is this is the birth of Danny Dyer. And if you don't know who Danny Dyer is, across the pond, I implore you to look him up because he's a geezer and he's a legend, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
I did like the scene where he's selling the records to people, and he did remember. Oh, I remember White Label Records. White Label Records, they were supposed to be like, you'd, I don't know how, like, when you had White Label, like, you'd know what you're putting on.
Sort of.
Because I remember people had decks and all that. It wasn't my type of music, and like, oh, I've got this record on White Label, and I'm like, oh, okay. So if you get muddled up, like, how do you know what record's what? I definitely didn't like her in the restaurant before she quit her job. That fucking shit was weird, with her sweaty boss like luring over her.
It was just so sweaty.
It just really was. I thought, was it supposed to be grease? It's supposed to what the fuck is that?
But in a single scene, it got across the character extremely well. A character you never saw again or before, it got him across, and they created this illusion in your head extremely fast. That was very well done.
Yeah, true. I don't get, like, was there a theme in the restaurant? Is that what everyone... Or is it just they're robots, like a machine? I didn't get, again, is it supposed to be like they're working for a franchise, so they're just pawns and they're robots? Is there supposed to be more into that scene? Or is it actually a stupid gimmick where, like, I don't know. It's a bit of a head fuck. Now I thought about it.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I found the whole side subject where he can't get it up a little bit not needed. I guess they wanted us to root for him, but I never felt like I did. I definitely like the scene where he bumped into you know, you do bump into someone you don't want to see, and he made that awkward, oh, how you doing, mate? You're all right? Oh, yeah. Like, and then he said, this is how the conversation really should have gone. That I found quite, that was proper British, I thought.
Yeah.
I like that. And then you like the Star Wars chat, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we spoke about the house party was probably the best sort of part of it. I really enjoyed just the Star Wars sort of chat. I mean, obviously I had similar chats sort of drunk, not, you know, anything, but you sort of... have the bits where you sort of analyze stuff and do stuff like that, which is sort of quite funny. So I think it's quite funny they were sort of well looking deep into this Star Wars thing and think they'd discovered the true meaning of everything. I thought it was quite funny.
And at the end, they're like, an R2-D2. Yeah, I've got nothing. Just trying to really explore it and just, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was clever.
What was clever? It's a very long 90 minutes. It doesn't fly.
No.
It really is dated. No matter how much I want to feel like, if you're watching this for the first time, which obviously you did, it's a bit painful. Whereas I feel like Trainspotting isn't dated. And the fact that I'm watching this, remembering that this was made the same time as all these other films we've done so far, and it kind of stands out, probably for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Feels like a TV movie. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. TV movies, not awful shout at all.
I'm guessing most of the budget went on the soundtrack, because obviously Pete Tong was the musical advisor.
Yep.
And I guess a lot of the rights was on the music, but I thought it's not my type of music, so I was a bit let down with the music side of things.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Which I feel like if I had a better soundtrack, maybe I would have been a bit more on board with the journey. But I was never into drum and bass and jungle and all that stuff. I don't think either of us were.
No, not massively. I mean, not to the extent where I could rank it massively high on soundtrack.
No, which is a shame. Because I thought the only thing that may go for it, when I put this on, the only thought that may go for it is the soundtrack, maybe better than I remembered. And unfortunately, it wasn't.
Yeah, but again, the problem is with the soundtrack for this is it's very much like personal preference. I mean, I can totally understand people absolutely loving this soundtrack and thinking it's the bollocks and fuming that we'd even dare like say anything sort of negative towards it. Because, it's a solid soundtrack for that sort of genre, but unfortunately, I'm not massively into that sort of genre.
No, totally.
So,
Spoiler. And I always remember Danny Dyer get caught having a tug in his bedroom. Yeah, the other four obviously went back and had sex, and then Danny can't wait to get his mirror out, which I found the most strangest thing ever. And then Mum walked in on him, and then she just has a little smile to herself. I thought, that's not what you do, is it, when you catch your son having a bit of a tug? Don't know. Bit weird. Go on.
I was going to say, it was a bit weird.
There are a lot of other talking points, really, in the whole film. I wish there was more. There's a couple of, like, cameos in there, if you concentrated. So when Jip first picks up Coop in his car, the DJ turning the radio is Pete Tong, who's the musical advisor. Pablo Hassan, who's the manager of the Silent Club, is played by prominent DJ Carl Cox. Director Kerrigan, he appears in several scenes as Ziggy Marlon. He's a junglist dancer in Coop's record shop. He's only jungle in guy. Stand-up comedian Joe Brand narrates the scene when Moth is on the sofa loosened, touch reality. Howard Marks appears and writes a scene on spliff politics. That was weird. Marks was a famous cannabis smuggler turned motivational speaker and author. He wrote his autobiography, Mr. Nice, about his criminal life. Bill Hicks is described as a visionary by characters in the film and features in one scene through archive footage. A mad Dr. X appears in the background during the record shop scene, whoever mad Dr. X is. But if you're into this kind of music, I'd imagine, like, you'd be screaming at me, telling me who he is. And a sequel's in the works. And Danny Dyer, Parks and Reynolds are all due to reprise their roles. It was announced in April 2019. And because of COVID, it's been delayed. But we're getting a Human Traffic 2 called Human Traffic 2 Revolution.
Oh, wow.
Book a day off for it?
I think we might have to.
I just don't know. Like, thankfully, this is the first film I've had to go to Wikipedia for budget and box office. On IMDb, this is savage. I'm glad I did look into this further. IMDb, which you usually go, had a budget of $2.2 million. And it reckons gross worldwide $104,257, which I just guess is like, that's a bit obviously wrong. Obviously, it's probably bigger over here than it was over there. I think it was massive hit on like DVDs. I remember the DVD, and I say I remember my brother being a massive fan of this film, because he was into all that type of music. So fortunately, I wasn't. So,
but yeah, you know, it's hard to just sort of really sort of break it down. I mean, there's sort of multiple stories going on. It was hard to really get involved with sort of any of the characters. I found you were sort of plodding along with it all. The Danny Dyer one, you wanted to see like more sort of growth in him and that. And at the end, like nothing really was resolved. Like I suppose the problem is I don't know how you end a film like this.
Like, as I say, I suppose it's over one lost weekend. Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I did like Danny Dyer's. Obviously, Dad's encouraging him to get a job, and he's like, all my mates hate their job. Like, why do I want a job? Like,
yeah,
I'm unemployed full time. I don't have time for a job. It's like, I don't know why. That made me chuckle. And obviously, the nice one brother on the toilet scene, I remember quite vividly, which was quite famous. All in all, like, there's not much more to say, really. I don't know. As you say, it ends really weirdly. At one point, I thought Dan Dahl was going to get run over because the build-up felt it that way.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't know if it was too much cruel intentions. But yeah, I thought that he was in trouble at some point.
It's just, like you said, there are like sketches with scenes, some like what, like the whole conversation about if we really meant what we meant, like looking at each other and seeing each other, this is what we would have said. I just don't know if it works as a film. It's got a big cult following, I know that. So I'm not saying it may not be for us, or we'll score it in a minute. But I realise some people really like it. And I do like, on IMDb, there is a review and the one line that kind of summarises it. You really need to be able to relate to it or else it will just frustrate you. And I think that's perfect.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair sort of shout and a great shout, to be honest with you, because it's not far off how I felt with it all. I mean, it should be... should have been a very sort of easy sort of hour and a half film, but I felt bits where it just kept going on and on and on. And for a film this length, it shouldn't have really sort of felt like that, I think.
Like, I relate to underground, like fighting, like regimes, probably why like I got that film so much. And like shark breeding underwater laboratories as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we won't talk about that, but we've tried.
Right. Let's try and score this. Let's try and be as kind as we can. Oh. What sort of soundtrack?
Soundtrack went for two.
Go on.
I was going to say, I mean, my reasoning for it is basically like, I can understand people could probably name the songs and there's some heavy hitters in there, I'm sure of it, but it's not my genre of music, so it completely went over my head. And it's probably more on me. It probably is fantastic, but I can only go with personal preference, so yeah.
I went for exactly the same. I went for two. I can see some people probably score this a five.
It's hard.
It's not my cup of tea. Plot originality, I gave it a two. It would have been a one, but apart from Trainspotting, it's pretty original in the fact that it's a little bit weird, a little bit out there. I gave it a two.
I went for a two. I think it was very much of its time and of that sort of like world, as it were. Again, Trainspotting touched on similar subjects, so like you said, it's hard to go completely original, but I think two's like fair.
Longevity, I gave it one. I don't think it's aged very well. I think it's, I can't believe it's in the same ballpark as some of the films that we've seen. I understand the budget was really low, but longevity, yeah, I gave it a one.
Longevity, I gave it a two. It's not horrendous, but it's, if I saw it on TV, I'd never turn over the channel to watch it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're a fan of it, I feel you could probably still whack it on and enjoy it and like it and laugh at certain bits, because there are some funny moments, like we said about some of the house party scenes and some of the one-liners and that. So, but I mean, there's nothing like that I view as overly offensive that you sort of sit there and go, fucking hell.
Yeah.
So I just think it's whether you'd watch it again, and yeah, it's only got a downside.
Caster gave it a two, and that's mainly because of Danny Dyer. I'm not surprised that the other four, I don't feel like I've gone on to do much. I may be wrong. But for me, Danny Dyer's the standout, and he makes it bearable. So I give it a two.
Cast, I went for a three. I just don't know who else could have sunk into those roles without, again, sort of taking people from train spotting.
Yeah.
So I feel like they did well. They all delivered solid performances with their characters. I don't have any issues with the people that are in it. So I think they're a pretty solid three. For the genre bonus, we went for party vibe. Like, did we get the idea of sort of the scene, as it were?
Yeah, I'll give it a three. I think mainly because of the house party at the end. It could have been a better, like, excitement towards, like, going to this gig. They never really build it up. I didn't even know they're having a house party. But because of the house party, I gave it a three.
Yeah, I mean, I went for an over-generous four. You did sort of get the vibe. I mean, him blagging his way into the club, I felt like that story went nowhere.
Yeah.
I honestly felt like there would have been a scene where he was caught up with the guy, and the guy's like, oh, you're going to do that fucking interview now or not? And he's sort of like, oh my God. And he's like, oh, you just get in my club for free. And, you know, there could have been,
yeah,
some repercussions from that, and there wasn't. But yeah, the whole sort of party vibe, you got the idea of the club with the music and the house party, and you could almost, like, when they were like coming down, and you know, the day after when they all sort of met up to talk about it, you lived the sort of the party side. So I think a generous four.
Oh, sounds good. Right, the scores are in.
Oh, you tallied it all up.
Tallied it all up.
Oh, what are we saying?
Locked in. Oh, so this, I'm not going to, like, obviously, I don't think it's going to threaten the top. Do you think it's worse than Office Space?
Not really, no.
No, it isn't. And Office Space got 17. Do you think it's worse than Wild Wild West?
It's there or thereabouts.
No, Wild Wild West got 18. Do you think it's worse than The Bone Collector?
I think Bone Collector is probably better.
They've got the same score as The Bone Collector.
Yeah.
You've got 23.
Yeah, that's fair.
No.
Yeah, I feel like I ought to go back and watch Office Space. You know, how bad was that?
I feel I would prefer to watch Human Traffic than Wild Wild West. And Office Space was a bit dull.
Jordan Bonus saved it, but that's what Jordan Bonus is for, really. I mean, it's not always, I mean, we got to pick what this film is about. A Jordan Bonus for this would be,
yeah,
you know, the party atmosphere. Could you feel it through it? And it's all you can do. I can't remember what Wild West Jordan Bonus was, but it's Cisco, I'll say.
I remember now.
Just go. Go straight to the world.
Oh.
Still got it. We never got that song. like, properly in the film.
No.
Wasn't it just a mad fight scene with it? That could have been sitting at number one if they'd done that. They'd had that film, that song, actually in the film properly. That'd have been
changes
10.
Everything.
That'd have been 10 right there from us.
Changes everything.
Changes everything.
The whole dynamic.
Fight Club still sitting at the top. It's still the film to be. Can it be dethroned? You want to find out next Thursday as Project 99 continues. We'll be announcing what film we're reviewing through the week on our social media. Where can they find us on Instagram?
At Paul and Griff Show.
Where can they find us on Twitter?
At Paul and Griff Show.
And that's it. If you fancy chatting films with Griff, head over to social media. He's always there. He loves a little... Have a little chat about films. Don't be a stranger. We'll be back on Tuesday for movie news. Hopefully the trailers will be better than what we just covered on the past episode. But, yeah, it's exciting stuff out. They've just announced Child Play 2. That's happening. So that's been announced very soon. So already they're dropping out some big hitters. So hopefully Tuesday's show will be interesting.
It'll be good. See you there. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.